Ensure in certain hope of the resurrection to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We commend to Almighty God our brother or sister, and we commit his or her body to the ground, earth to earth, ashes to ashes, dust to dust. Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord, says the Spirit. They rest from their labors and their works follow them. For a minister, these words roll off of our tongues as easily as your recitation of the Pledge of Allegiance. These words are, of course, the words that are said at the interment, the graveside service of somebody who has died. And they're the final words commending a loved one to God's mercy and care. And one of the things that often impresses me, and maybe what is most important, is what is not said in these words. It doesn't say ensure in certain confidence in the resurrection. It doesn't say ensure in certain belief in the resurrection. The words that ministers use to commend someone who has gone ahead of us are ensure and certain hope of the resurrection to eternal life. We live as a people who have a hope. What does it mean to live as a people who have a hope? What is it that we hope in? A few weeks ago, I officiated the funeral service of Harold Koifas. Harold was a member of the West Caldwell Presbyterian Church who came up here with the union of the two congregations. And he used to sit right over here underneath the balcony with his home health aide faithfully every Sunday. Harold grew up in Brooklyn and now once again rests in Brooklyn. His family owned the plot at Greenwood Cemetery, one of the two great cemeteries in New York. And Greenwood is a cemetery where celebrities and notable people have been buried. Leonard Bernstein is there, as is Boss Tweed. 500,000 people a year visit Greenwood Cemetery, mostly to inter loved ones. There are over 560,000 people who are buried there. Now, I realize that this may be a little bit morbid, but I actually find it very interesting to walk around in old cemeteries. There is a certain peace to walking through those hallowed grounds, the rolling hills, the different stones, the monuments to people's lives are fascinating and beautiful. And it's interesting to observe what is written on many of those stones. The older stones, earlier 19th century and beyond, often speak of the hope that we have in our God. Newer ones moving into the 20th century are monuments to what a person has done on this earth. It's a legacy of their lives. And the more recent ones are essentially markers. John Smith, date of birth, date of death, telling nothing of the person's life. Well, since I had never been to Greenwood Cemetery, I asked Frank Galante if I could catch a ride with him over to the cemetery and if he could just leave me there. And for Frank, it was a strange request, and he commented that he had never had a one-way ticket for a minister to a cemetery, at least not one that was sitting in the front seat of the hearse. The gravesite was in the far back corner of the cemetery, which couldn't have been better for me. And at the conclusion of the service, as the family returned to their vehicles, Frank offered me a ride back to the front, which I declined. I asked the gravedigger the general direction of the front gates, and I headed in that direction. I really had no interest in visiting the gravesites of the famous people that were buried there. But for the next hour or so, I stopped at whatever caught my eye. The first stone that I stopped at had the remains of a five-month-old child who died in 1856 due to a fever. Written below were the words from Matthew 19, "Suffer the little children, come to me." On a hill a little bit further stood a monolith. The name of the soldier had long since worn off, but he died at the Battle of Antietam, September 17, 1862, aged 22 years, part of the New York Regiment. And written below his name were the words of John 15, "Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends." Another rather large monument was to a minister of the Dutch Reformed Church. And on one side of the monument were the words of our window today from 1 Thessalonians 4:16. "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God." On and on I walked, name after name, monument after monument. Ministers, business owners, children, war heroes, moms, dads, grandparents, 560,000 of them memorialized forever on stones that marked that they too once walked this earth. I walked until I reached the front gates, these beautiful gates right here. And in those brownstone are carved four different biblical scenes. The first one calling forth Lazarus from the dead. The second one, Jesus claimed that he is the resurrection and the life. The third one is Jesus saying to the mother whose son had died to weep not as he brought the boy back to life. And the fourth one was Paul's claim in 1 Corinthians that the dead shall be raised on the last day. And I wonder what all of this means. What does it mean to have a hope? What do you hope for? What do you hope in? Faith, hope, and love, according to Paul, are the three things that remain after everything else on this earth fades away. When there are no more churches and no more preachers and no more life remaining on this earth, faith, hope, and love remain. What do you hope in? What do you have faith in? It's an important question because the answer is so often misunderstood. We are continuing the series today on the stained glass windows with this one, which is right in front of the balcony here on my left. In this window, it is a descending Jesus surrounded by heavenly glory and power. There are angelic figures blowing their trumpets. The book of life with the names of all those whom God calls are in this window. The bottom two windows have a harp and the theme, Holy, 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 which is a song of the redeemed. And in the top circle is the crown, the reward of the faithful. And it is this theme of faithfulness and hope that I focus on today. And just like my earlier comment, there are things that we do not have faith and hope in because there is something very specific that our faith and hope is in. For instance, as Christians, our faith and hope is not in the Bible. Our faith and hope is also not in ourselves. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that the Bible is unimportant, nor am I saying that our lives and how we live our lives doesn't matter. What I'm saying is that the Bible, in and of itself, cannot save you. And Lord knows there is no way that I can save myself. The Westminster Shorter Catechism asks the question, what do the Scriptures principally teach? And the answer to that question is that the Scriptures principally teach what we are to believe concerning God and what duty God requires of us. And there's a footnote to that question that points us to a passage in the book of Micah that asks the question of what God requires of us. And you all know the answer to this. It is to do justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with our God. That is the purpose of the Bible and of our lives. So if it is not hope in the Bible, if it is not hope in ourselves, what is it that we have hope in? As Christians, our faith and our hope is in a person. Our faith and our hope is in the person of Jesus, the Christ. Christian hope and faith is not confidence in faith that saves, but rather Christian hope and faith is confidence in a God who saves. It is faith in Jesus. We have faith in the one who was born of God, who lived a life of perfect obedience to God, who died for our sins and was resurrected to eternal life, and promises to one day come back and redeem us. Years ago, when I was working in hospice, I was assigned to a woman over in Union County. And so I gave her a call, and she asked me to come over immediately. Her husband answered the door, and I told him that I was the chaplain there to visit his wife. And he said to me that he didn't know why she wanted me to come. They weren't particularly religious people. They were married in the Catholic Church about 30 years previously, but they hadn't been back since. Really, we don't believe in anything at all, he told me. I said, that's fine. But would it be okay if I just sat with your wife for a little bit? And so I entered the bedroom, and there she was, laying in a hospital bed. She begins to tell me about her life, but you can sense that there is a significant tension in the room. So I asked her whether or not she ever wonders what's next. What's next for you? And her eyes filled with tears. That's all I can think of. Her stunned husband looked at her and said that he had no idea that that was what she was thinking about, to which she replied, and this is a direct quote from her, "What the hell do you think I'm thinking of? I'm laying here dying." You know, it's amazing that people who don't find themselves either religious or spiritual are eventually confronted with mortality and wonder what is next. And it opened the door to a discussion where she talked about not going to church for years, the fact that she questioned whether or not God existed at all, as well as the question of faith and hope and what we have hope in. When she seemed at peace and actually rather tired, I took my leave and I told her that I would return in a couple of days. And that night she died. She died at least knowing that her hope was not in herself, but that her hope is in a God who saves. Friends, we have a sure and certain hope in a God who saves. That is the hope that generations ahead of us know, for they see God now face to face. And it is a sure and certain hope that we now have. Listen to how Paul puts it in our scripture today. "But we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about those who have died, so that you may not grieve as others who do not have hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so through Jesus God will bring with him those who have died. For this we declare to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will by no means precede those who have died. For the Lord himself, with a cry of command, with the archangel's call, and with the sound of God's trumpet, will descend from heaven, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up in the clouds together with them to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage each other with these words." Friends, this is our sure and certain hope, that we do have a God who saves. Amen.